It's May 27th, 2020. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Justin Labar and Matt Morgan. And tonight we're going to talk about AEW Dynamite versus NXT on USA. A lot happened tonight, a lot of big matches. Matt, what was your high point of the evening tonight?
When it was over?
On the night that the Revival, Dax and Cash, made their debut in AEW.
No, obviously, duh, them. But I'm just dealing with so much stuff right now, so I apologize. No, that was awesome. We knew it was gonna happen. Happy it happened, and holy crap, I just cannot wait.
Yeah.
So they get into it a little bit more, dude. They're gonna have the best tag division if they do this right. If they take the attention off of, no offense, Best Friends. No offense as well to I want to say SVU.
SVU.
SCU, and put it back on the Lucha Brothers again when they can travel again, hopefully, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's why they haven't been there so much, right? Is because they can't travel?
I thought...
Even though one of them was there?
I thought Phoenix got injured, don't want to say. So, and there's a chat room.
What's up. No, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Phoenix got injured.
Yeah.
But when he gets right, dude, I love the Lucha Brothers. I think they're incredibly underrated, and they should be the top of any division they're in. Lucha Brothers, Young Bucks, and now these two, are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude. These are like, I'm not overstating this. So settle down, chat room. They're generational tag teams, in my opinion. That's how damn good all three are.
So, Justin, was this a contractual thing where they couldn't appear till tonight, and that's why we didn't see them at Double or Nothing?
FTR, no. They've been good to go for several weeks now. When it became news that they were gone from WWE, their contracts literally were let to run out. So they did not have to have a 90-day. They could have shown up.
And this is one thing about pay-per-views. Yes, it's good to have big surprises on pay-per-views. Yes, it is. It's more important to have big surprises on a cable television show that depends on ratings.
Absolutely. People are paying for pay-per-views, but they're not going to pay if they don't know what's coming. And so they don't know. So you're not going to make money and more buys off of a surprise. So I agree with Matt. This helps pop a... when you're going segment by segment against competition of NXT, this is good. It was just waiting for the right time for them, and here we are.
And NXT tonight had some surprises as well. So Matt Riddle, looks like the rumors are true, and this was his last match in NXT.
I'm excited about that. I'm excited about him being called up, Justin, to the main roster.
He's sliding over, man. What are you doing?
Fun times with games. Buck 99 says, Matt, my friend said he's convinced you're 35, like arbitrary age. Oh, to pick. Like,
what a great compliment of being 8 years younger. What, come on, dude. I swear, Matt, you're 41 and a half. You don't look a day over 41 and a half. I'm 43. it's like being the world's tallest short person.
Yeah, whatever, man. I'll take it. It's all good. Both shows I thought were really enjoyable tonight. This was solid. This was good.
It was.
And I think good timing. I mean, when's Fyter Fest? Do we know when that's going to happen, Justin?
No, I don't believe they gave a date. They obviously they're building matches, but I don't remember them giving an actual date. They
were going to have it in England. Did you see that?
Yes, London was the original plan.
And I think, I don't remember if it was JR or Shivani, I think I heard, I wasn't looking at this at the TV at the time, but I think I heard one of them say Fyter Fest, which will be sometime soon. That's as boiled down as they gave it, as sometime soon.
All right, ready for me to pop the chat room? Chat room, I'm going to be going into the chats right now, so you see me looking down, this is why. They're like, oh, Matt Morgan discovered technology. That's not discovering technology, by the way. You freaking jerks, you mean bullies.
He just learned how to use technology. That's
different. I didn't know it was available. You or Raj, when I was on the computer at the time, told me that I couldn't read chats while we did this. Only one of you could. I didn't know that.
No, I figured it out when I was on my phone.
Know what it was? That was back in the day when we were using the other platform.
That makes sense. Phil, Canadian, $5 saying, seeing Ricochet, Nakamura, Joe, Rude, Amore, I have no faith Riddle will get past the mid card, especially with that bro shtick.
I, you know what? Phil has a point as far as custom ready to go. I would even argue potential headline acts. Nakamura, I'm sorry. I thought was a headline act. Locked in.
Oh, easily.
I really did. And Joe could have been as well. They did him right. Bobby Roode, too. He's been, for what it's worth, I know it's hard to see it now because how they booked him. But you got to get that out of your head and go back to TNA coming into NXT, Bobby Roode, to get the right guys for it. You know. But anyways, he's right. I hope that doesn't happen. In the meantime, I'm just going to be entertained as hell by watching a guy who wrestles a completely different style every week. Even if they put him in the middle of the card, who cares? I'll be entertained by him.
Savon Vavar, $5, saying, how does WWE let Riddle go to SmackDown and not let Paul Heyman get a chance with him?
Do we know that?
That's the rumors that it's SmackDown.
Yeah, the rumor is Bruce Pritchard, who runs SmackDown day-to-day, week-to-week, really vouched to have Riddle.
I think that that works, though, with SmackDown's as a better business. It might have changed today, but when I was there, SmackDown was a better worker show than Raw was. Like, your better workers, more or less, work rate and shit like that, worked on SmackDown. It's kind of going back to that a little bit, right, with AJ coming over and others.
I think the biggest thing about Riddle putting Riddle to Raw is it's not to say that Heyman doesn't or didn't want Riddle, but it's that, like, you know, Raw already has a lot of new faces they're trying to establish to the Raw audience. You look at you know, Andrade, all Zelina's people. There's been a lot of new faces, and even though the hardcore wrestling fans know who Riddle is, there is a great divide of people who might watch Raw or SmackDown but don't watch NXT. So I think maybe trying to bring another new face right now on Monday Night might be something I could see Vince just scoffing at. Maybe, I don't know. I'm just speculating, but I'm fine with Riddle going to SmackDown. That's what happens, though.
Rojo Bear, $2 super chat, pointing out the rival's new name is F the Rest, FTR. I believe that's the shirt that's available already.
That's not really their name, right?
That's what their t-shirt says.
Who knows? Every time they kept saying FTR, I kept thinking they were saying FDR, and it just was confusing me the entire time. But they need something. Justin Lopez, $5. Riddle on SmackDown is better fit matchup-wise. Riddle versus Nakamura, Cesaro, Bryan, AJ, all great matchups.
Justin, why waste $5 on that when I just said that? Or was it sitting there before I said it, probably?
Maybe it was sitting. I don't know. If people want to pay me money to agree with me, you know, I suppose it's better than paying me money to argue with me.
I drive Raj nuts when I say these things, by the way, folks in the chat room.
Matt, you should just change your name. Instead of BP Matt Morgan, you should just have it say, like, save your money. Like, for your nameplate, you know?
You guys could just ask me anytime. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
in fact, I'm going to the chat right now.
Okay. Well,
you can still see me, huh?
We can still see you while that chat just overlays it over the screen. And our friends at StreamYard, who provide this platform, I sent them stuff about features, because with the super chats, we appreciate you guys send them. But once we get into recapping the show, as it stands right now, it would be great if you could just save any unrelated stuff to AEW or NXT for what we're talking about. If you could save that till the end of the show, so that way it doesn't take us as long to get through the recaps of these, because we want to address all your super chats and get them. So StreamYard hopefully is going to build us a feature soon where we can make sure they don't scroll off the screen and we get to them. But for now, if you could just kind of keep it a little on topic, that'll help us make it through these recaps and get there. But yeah, man, I really thought tonight was strong. I like that AEW is not doing the usual thing after a pay-per-view. Normally after a pay-per-view, it's like, well, this is a breather week. This was not a breather week. They're hitting the ground running. And NXT, on the other hand, what did they announce that next week, NXT Prime Target, next week's going to be a recap show before TakeOver?
I don't know, but listen, I have breaking news here in the chat room. Uh-oh. Sound Shop, this is important. Sound Shop Vlogs is saying, why'd the Patreon talk die down? Raj put the kibosh on them. Ha ha. So just for that, no, we did not put the kibosh on that. Let's bring the Patreon talk back.
We just need some time, man. We just need some time to make it work, to make it happen. And people, like, got to tweet us more your ideas with this. Matt wants to see the outpouring, the support, because we don't want to do the Patreon thing and then have it come out and be like, nothing. We got to know that we're shooting our shot and that you guys really want this if we're going to make that happen.
Yeah, man.
But no, look, you guys are fantastic. It's so many nice notes, so many things we've gotten lately. So look, let's talk about AEW first, then we'll go into NXT. Want to do a quick shout out to the sponsor of tonight's episode, which is Manscaped. And guys, Father's Day right around the corner. If you've got a hairy dad, you need the perfect gift for him, and you can make him proud this year. Get him and yourself the Manscaped Perfect Package. For me, I grew up with two brothers. There were three of us, and my father used to wrestle like crazy as kids. I remember after we saw Clash of the Titans, we'd play this game called Kraken, and my dad would be the Kraken, and he would like be wrestling us and juggling us around. And I remember the first time that I was like, oh man, like what's that terrible smell? And I didn't smell that again until I got older and I got some hair myself. And I went, oh, I inherited my father's BO. That's when I knew I was getting old. That's when I knew I had to take manscaping seriously. You know, it's not just about the perfect package, as it were, but, you know, you got to do the armpits. You got to get there. Look at Raj with his hairy chest. You got to tame that Manscaped. It's going to help you keep everything under control. You need this product. Your dad will appreciate it. You're never, never too old to start keeping your stuff tight and on point. Manscaped, the only brand dedicated to men's below-the-waist grooming. Oh. They've forever changed the grooming game with the Perfect Package 3.0. It's got it's number one recommended gift all year long. Comes with the Essential Lawnmower 3.0, the water-resistant cordless body trimmer, tons of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. This is the third generation trimmer, the cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents on the body. You got a hairy chest, you got a hairy back, look no further. So stop imagining your father has it covered and stop thinking about his body hair, because quite frankly, it's just going to get more troubling from there. But this is a great thing to give him, the 7,000 RPM trimmer. In the perfect package, you also get the crop preserver, the anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer, the crop reviver, the refreshing spray, which reduces your chafing, and the chafe-reducing athletic boxer briefs, my favorite boxer briefs I own. Subscribe to the perfect package. You also get that new replacement blade refill every 3 months for your lawnmower. It's perfect Father's Day gift, and for a free time, subscribers will get a free gift, the Shed Travel Bag, a $39 value add. You can also get 20% off and free shipping when you go to manscaped.com. Use our promo code WINC, that's manscaped.com, promo code WINC at checkout to save 20% off, get free shipping. It's dad bod season, time to get smooth, Manscaped, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. And Matt, I don't know if you saw this, but the other day I saw they're coming out with a nose hair, ear hair trimmer that's rechargeable. Looks fantastic. I can't wait to get my hands on that, because that's just going to step up my grooming game even more.
Yes, 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 yes. Better than the bootleg battery ones they have like at Walgreens that stop working like after your second or third use. By the way, the chat room is pretty funny to read during these commercial ads. I'm just going to throw that out there. They're chilling. I wanted to laugh. I didn't want to interrupt your promo. You did a good job, but they're hilarious, some of the stuff these guys say. One of them was like, no, I don't care, Glenn, whatsoever. Me and my dad have never discussed about what his hair looks like down there.
I don't discuss it, but I'm just telling you, you know, you got to get it from somewhere. And I think, hey, today might be, you know, this might be the year where you're not going to see your dad in person for Father's Day. So if you're going to get him, you know, like something to groom Manscape, I think this is the year to do it, because you don't have to have a face-to-face conversation. Men don't do that. Men don't talk about that. Remember when we were growing up, Matt, the commercials where it'd be the mom and the daughter, and mom, do you ever feel not so fresh? Like, guys should be having that conversation. I wish my dad would have said, slap some talc on there, trim some hairs, you'll feel better. Men need to talk about this.
No, we have. Me and my dad did back in the day when, I'm trying to think when it was, because my dad is, I used to call him George the Animal Steel. I swear to God I did. He was very hairy. His like arms, his shoulders, his chest, everything. And so he'd always wear a tank top, and I always make fun of him for it. And he's like, you just wait, you know, you're on the same problem. And then when I started wrestling, I started using this. He saw me one day, you know, using the straight razor, right? Doing my shoulders, doing my chest or whatever. And he goes, oh boy. He goes, you're making the biggest mistake. Now that you've started this, you're never going to stop. You know that, right? I go, fine. I'll just keep shaving every time. I don't have a problem with this, Dad. You know, it's none of your business, by the way. This is a weird conversation, and now you've made me uncomfortable. Goodbye.
Farscape One says, Glenn, please, enough of the trimmer stuff. How low can you go? Well, with the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, you can go as low as it goes and all the way to the back. Use that promo code WINC at manscaped.com. Save 20% off. Let's talk about some All Elite Wrestling tonight. Yes. Oh. So we had the Inner Circle that ordered way too much of their championship gear, assuming championship shirts, assuming they were going to win that stadium stampede. Love that bit with the back of the truck. Very funny setup there. Pep rally segment they were going to have at the end of the show. We had the Young Bucks backstage with Matt Hardy before their match against Joey Janela and Private Party. What'd you think of both these opening bits, Matt?
I'm a big Joey fan. I'm happy he's back on TV, to be honest. Good. Very good. Very, very. I think both openings tonight was pretty good. I was entertained by both, actually. Which sucks because my attention always goes, I'm just going to be honest, goes a little bit more toward AEW.
Yeah, the t-shirt bit's a fun thing. That was great. And then, yeah, right. having the Bucks with Hardy and then them saying, Matt, we'd like a different version of you. So then he walks off camera, comes back, and them trying to get to the version they want. I think that's great. Matt Hardy doing I always just pay homage to it, doing the three faces of Foley thing, but doing it all at the same time. And I think it's fun, you know, and it gives a whole different dynamic. Certainly it's a dynamic of creativity that Matt was not allowed to have in this last WWE run. Right. So let him have it now.
Yep.
And he looks like he was having a blast out there during this match. The Bucks and Hardy picked up the win.
And again, cheap plug. We had, like I said, it's still on Wrestling Inc. I had Matt Hardy on the Wrestling Inc. daily last week. So you can still find that audio. There's also some quotes on Wrestling Inc. So you can go find that. He talks a lot about his last run with WWE, his problems with Vince, his fun he's having here in AEW. So if you're a Matt Hardy or an AEW fan, definitely go find that audio on WrestlingInc.com.
No, this was great. And, you know, we never got – when he debuted, wasn't he talking about doing the Elite Deletion, doing like a Hardy Compound match?
We talk about that in the interview.
Oh, really?
We talk about will there be another Hardy Compound match, and he gives a very good answer.
Well, I'll have to check that out.
Stop using your cool guy voice, Justin. You're doing your cool guy Vince McMahon gimmick right there.
This cool guy voice.
We make movies. Like,
that's what I feel from you. That's the energy. I didn't have to see you, but I'm feeling it from you. I was in chat room just now. That's exactly what I just got off of you. Like, good, I have to listen to the podcast that I did with him.
But then you take a sip of water.
With Matt Hardy. Podcast.
I talk about you that way too, you know.
Not you, Matt Morgan.
I do talk about you that way. I do.
He did it. Matt Hardy, because you didn't hear it, did it with me. Hey, I told you even back when I was a wrestler, dude, I was a fan of your show, so shut up.
Thank you. I know. And actually, now that you can read the chat room, Matt, you're going to find that people, you don't want to say that to
them.
Because people
love you.
No. People buy into the heat. They think you and I have some legit heat, and you're ready to kick my ass. So you can't break that illusion. There's times when you and I get yelling at each other that they buy into it. So
The Butcher and the Blade went after Matt and Nick after this match. And then a truck pulled up to the ring, and it was FTR, formerly the Revival. That should be the name, formerly the Revival.
Yeah.
To get into the ring, went over to the Bucks like they're going to strike, but they went after the Butcher and the Blade. There was a spiked pile driver on the Blade. FTR and the Young Bucks stared at each other for a moment and then leave the ring. I almost think if Tyson hadn't been on the show, this should have happened. This is what they should have gone off the air with.
Okay, really quick. I just got to get this out of the way. Everyone that saw the pay-per-view, did you see when they went to the crowd shot at AEW and at a Double or Nothing, and they showed the Butcher and the Blade? Dude, not good. Well, what's his name? First of all, look shredded. The smaller one between the two,
Rex.
What's his name?
He's
the Blade. He's wearing suspenders, I believe, and shades for some random reason. But he looked shredded at least. But his partner, dude, looked like Dutch Mantel. Like, I'm being dead serious. Go back and watch it again. It just looks like some old dude with glasses, just randomly lost, sitting with the rest of the wrestlers watching the show. Go back. You have to really watch for it. Fans, I'm being dead serious. It's a great Easter egg because it doesn't even look like him in gimmick or him in character. And it looks like Dutch Mantel.
Has anyone ever said that as a compliment? Like, you know, you look
I'm
a
not
lot
complimenting
like...
him. I'm not complimenting him.
Folks, don't look like Dutch Mantel. Use Manscaped.
No, he looks old. He looks old. The guy looks, I'm just telling you, go back and watch it.
What was that?
I didn't recognize him. I had to keep rewinding it. But anyways, this segment itself, though, with the stare down was awesome. When you had both teams just sitting there staring at one another, everyone in the wrestling world's mind just went in that moment right there. Because now we're going to get it finally. After all these years, not after all these years, but for a lot of years.
After like 2 years.
You know?
Well,
this is no. I would say since they were in NXT, I wanted to see this.
Okay.
Well, it's nice that they brought. It's nice that they are bringing these guys in, FTR, in, and they're actually going to let them be babyfaces first. Because look, we all know it was well documented that they were being underused or being put in comedy bits, whatever, in WWE. So the fans are the fans view. Even though there's not fans there, the viewers naturally want to support FTR right now. So let them do that and sit on wait. You can do the anticipated match of them versus the Young Bucks and them being heels. They can turn. You know, you can sit on that later. So glad. I'm glad they're coming in. Save it for September. You know, save it for later. But you, like, I'm glad they didn't rush right into that immediately because that they didn't need to. They can get a nice little babyface reunion tour, not reunion, recovery tour post WWE out of these guys' faces right now.
Yeah. So after that, we had Brian Cage out there with Taz versus Lee Johnson. Quick squash match. Moxley was out there on commentary for this.
This was good. This was exactly AEW. I'm sorry. They do better squash matches. They do a good job with their squash match. I know it sounds ridiculous. How could you screw up a squash match, Matt? We've seen it. This is exactly how you get a monster over. I'm just very worried about him wrestling Mox this quickly and having to do the JOB so early. They can't be that stupid and have him just do the job flat out. Hopefully there's some type of interference, disqualification, something. Can you guys hear me the way you've been hearing me all show, or is my volume down a little?
No, we actually hear you. I was going to say, I think we're getting an echo from your head, from your earbuds. If you could just turn down the volume on your phone, just turn down the volume like 2 ticks.
Yeah, I hear the echo.
Yeah, hopefully that'll help.
I got an echo for you. It makes no sense.
But whatever, yeah.
How about now?
Well, now. Yeah. Now I hear it.
Yeah.
All right, I got to get new earbuds. I'll be right back.
Okay. While Matt's doing that, Taz cut a promo on Moxley after. I mean, it wasn't really even a full-length promo. Just saying, you know, you better beat him if you can, survive if he let you at Fighter Fest.
That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool endorsement if you're Brian Cage that Taz – taking that famous saying that he used, and applying it and saying it in the context in the tense now for Brian Cage. That's a kind of cool endorsement. It's similar to a guy passing on his finisher to somebody else.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So after that, Britt Baker came out to talk with Tony Schiavone, and she was there with Rebel. Or what was she calling? Reba. That's right. And what'd you think of this, Justin? You're a big Britt Baker fan, OG since day one.
Yeah, this is fun. I mean, this was a great. This was. Say it again. You know, she for having never been heel before in her career, she's in such a comfort zone doing this. And obviously, that her getting hurt was not part of the plan. That sucks. That's derailed a few things, but she's just thriving at it, and you know, doing the conspiracy theories, and she's got the string up on the board, and this is great. I kind of hope that they, you know, she announced that she'll be back
at All Out
in September. So that's you know, it sucks you lose her for the next few months, but when I saw the injury happen, I knew right away she was hurt. I could tell right away that. I mean, we all could, but I was like, God, how bad could this be? So this is. It's not as bad as it could be, you know. So I hope that they take this summer months, though, and they don't just keep Raw TV. I hope they let her keep doing stuff like this, because this has been the most entertaining part of heel Britt Baker. It's not her in-ring work, although there's been some good spots with the trying to put girls' mouths on the rope and bust their teeth and et cetera. But it's just been her. It's been the sassy, just, you know, she's just a bitch who's, you know, her shit don't stink. I mean, that's been – she's just has thrived in it. And the stuff with Schiavone and – so I hope they keep bringing her out and keeping her relevant on TV for that matter.
Yeah, I thought this was good, and I think they can really build something with her because, I mean, yeah, the character bits are just, I think, where it's at, and then when we see her wrestle again, it'll be fantastic. After that, we had Hikaru Shida, the champion, the AEW Women's World Champion, against Christy James in a non-title match, and that was fairly quickly with Shida picking up the win via pinfall.
How do I sound right now?
Great.
Good.
All right, really quick. This is – we got to talk about this really quickly.
Yeah,
about the women's championship right now. They were on the right path. This AEW women's division was on the right path. And you start with your champion, especially when you're a new company. It is imperative that your championships are on your top people when you are a new company.
Yeah.
It's not the time to have the championship build the star, because the championship doesn't mean shit yet, because the championship is with a is part of a new company. It doesn't have any lore. It doesn't have any like long history. Pedro Morales didn't win it. Bruno Sammartino didn't win it. You know what I mean? Like who I picked first, Pedro. But you know what I'm saying? It just doesn't. So like you can't go to into this with, well, so-and-so needs to, you know, get a great rub out of that, you know, having the championship right now. Because a lot of companies, including WWE, do that for sure. But you got to build your company up first. So like Jericho being the first champion was ideal, perfect. Everyone yeah. loved it. It made perfect sense. Tag teams, this is where they dropped the ball. Should have been Young Bucks for quite a while, in my opinion. Or even Lucha Dragons, even I'd argue. Lucha Dragons, oh my God, Matt. Lucha Brothers. And then with the women's division, you know, Nyla Rose, I thought should have been the champion right from jump. Either her or Awesome Kong. Strong heel champion. And had what's her name Chase from the beginning. Britt Baker at the time. But look, mm-hmm. it's worked out. Britt Baker's been an amazing heel since she's gone all the way in before her injury. You know? But again, I don't know why they felt the need to take this championship off of Nyla Rose. This made no sense.
Yeah, man, I agree with you, and I almost wonder, I don't know, but I almost wonder, you know, the two women's matches obviously was, you know, the Nyla where she drops it, and they were supposed to have obviously Britt versus Chris Statlander, and then Britt gets hurt days before. I almost wondered, because Britt was thriving as, was just on such a rise as the heel, obviously you can't have her take it from Nyla. I almost wondered if, okay, no. they're going to get, if they were going to put have Nyla drop it to a babyface just to be the transition champion, just for Britt to then get it.
Yeah.
But obviously that plan got foiled if that was the case, you know. With Britt being hurt now. So yeah. in which case they should have just kept it on Nyla. So I agree with you.
Yeah. Statlander could be a good babyface champion, by the way. Drop the alien gimmick, though. You don't need it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Glenn?
Yes, Glenn's frozen.
Is he frozen? I thought he was just reading really hard.
Chat room, really quick, get screen captures of Glenn. Get him now while you can.
Oh. It's left to us, the inmates, run the asylum.
All right, so next on AEW, we had Jobber versus somebody else Matt doesn't care about. It has to go on a podcast and pretend he does care about. I'm joking, but not really.
Yeah, you sound much better with those, dude.
Justin, you have quite a fan following in our chat room.
What are they saying? I need to open this up now.
Well, what I saw, someone was making fun of you for not having, it's not your fault, but you hadn't said anything at the beginning of the show. That's because me, I'm a blabbermouth, so is Glenn.
But no, you're right, though. These streaming platforms work off of whoever's the loudest and most recent audio. So if I do go to talk, it's going to cut your audio, and I don't want to cut off your quote.
And thank you. You're the only one on the show who does that, by the way, because Glenn and Rogers don't care. I'm just joking. But they, what was I going to say in the chat room? They also said, what did they say? Something about the stuff you were saying. I forget what it was, but like, it was like three comments.
I made a good point or something. Maybe
I was like, Justin's pretty over with this crowd.
Hey, real quick. Cause I didn't get to talk to you Monday. We had talked the night. What do you think of the plexiglass that WWE's got up?
I don't like the NXT talents being behind there.
Yeah.
I think it makes them look like chumps.
Right.
And not important. If The Rock was in your system in that moment, would he be behind one of those?
You know what I mean? No, I'm with you, and I think that's why Vince held off so long, because you know he doesn't want his talent to appear as fans. But I will say this, because it's so dark and there's not a bunch of them, there's only like a dozen of them, I can't really see them.
Then that works.
I mean, look at the amount of guys before they became talents who were lackey extras who are security guys to get beat up or paramedics to get beat up, you know, so none of them have been on TV and we're not seeing their faces. We're just there to hear them. So I, for that point,
On AEW, I didn't like it. Like with Swole getting into it with one of the talents on the show, I was like, she's like a star on there. Like she, Vicky Guerrero too. Like I don't know, Billy Gunn, you can't miss them.
I agree.
Like it's just, I know they're part of the show. They're talents on the roster. They're not supposed to pretend to be fans. I get it.
Yeah.
But again, is it still better than not having fans there at all? That's been terrible to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Down and Raw.
I agree. AEW probably should have just, you know, they've been using so many local indie talents for like.
I would just bring them
just
in.
Bring those in for the crowd. Yeah. Don't put your TV stars out there. Yeah.
Seriously. And don't put 6'6" Billy Gunn out there.
Right.
I know he doesn't cost any money because they're paying him to be already there to be an agent, you know, and be an important part of that show. They're lucky they have him, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
He's the easiest dude to go to as a talent and say, hey, how do I get better? What'd you think of my match? Billy will give you his like legit opinion. He will never blow smoke up your ass. When other guys used to blow smoke up my ass, like, oh, that was great. And I walked by, Jesus Christ, that was a shit. You know? As soon as I'm done, you know, after them telling me it was great, you know? So I always appreciated that about him.
I just love how Billy hops into that battle royal tonight. And he's just, he's like the biggest guy in there next to, other than Luchasaurus. And he's like, 55 years old or whatever he is.
He is so, people don't know how big he is, man. He's so big. Damn deceivingly big.
Yeah.
You see him, he's considered the best bump and feeding heel of all time. He legit is. By everybody that's been in our business and wrestled for WWE, they'll all tell you that. And then you see him in person. I remember, like, my first time I met him in OVW, I was like, Jesus, he's every bit of 6'6", 6'5", at least, and 280. And I was like, how in the hell is he this athletic? But he really is. He's just, and he has asthma. Dude, you cannot blow him up. You know? You hear that story how he beat The Rock in a foot race?
No.
Yeah, him and Rock used to have like a small little rivalry, a friendly one. Yeah. In the gym and anything that was remotely consisting of anything athletic. And one day they had a race. Supposedly Billy beat him like toward like the last five steps, turned around and did it backwards, like the last three steps. Which just sounds just like him.
Little show off, yeah.
Yeah. That's wild. What should we do about Glenn?
I guess
shit canning us. Can you drive? Can you drive, brother? As Raj would say,
yes. Hang on, I gotta pull up the damn results now. So I guess remember where we're at in order here.
We're after the women's match right now.
All right, let's see here. See how fast Raj's website wants to load. Yeah, you heard me, Raj. Stop all these damn ads! All these damn ads popping up. Ooh, I can't. It won't even.
Guys, remember the days when you didn't want to. I was gonna do a Glenn ad.
You should. All right, remember, here we go.
Guys, remember back in the day when you did it for the nookie? Well.
All right, got to the Britt Baker, got to the women's match. Yeah. All right, so women's match. All right, so then we have Cody Rhodes. Cody comes for the promo and basically just talks about being the first TNT champion. And the big thing takeaway is they say that he's going to defend the title every week. That's the big deal.
Which is awesome. I think that's what it should be. It's a TV title. You're supposed to defend it on TV. And we get a Cody Rhodes match every week. I'm great with that.
Yeah, I have to note, and referee Jimmy Corderas and I were having fun with this on Twitter. We were in the same mindset. We both rolled our eyes though with Excalibur on commentary. He made a comment about like Cody Rhodes defending the title every week. What a breakneck schedule. It's like, all right, it's one a week, and especially when so many of the talent, who all worked in the WWE schedule at one point, have all noted in media interviews, Matt Hardy himself and the one that I just promoted earlier, that like it's a great AEW schedule. I only got to work once a week. Like, it's a bit of an eye rolling thing when the traditional wrestling companies is like you work four or five days a week. Like to say it's a breakneck schedule once a week.
Whoa.
I know he was trying to like hype up this new title, but it was like just poor choice of words.
An illusion that they are wrestling four more days. When I was there, WWE, seriously, we were off the road 4 days of every week.
Yeah.
And if you did PR, 5 days.
Right, because you leave your house Thursday and you wouldn't get back until Monday or Tuesday, right? Depending on what brand you're on.
Wednesday for me.
Wednesday? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, ahead, I come back and do OVW television on Wednesday. What up, Glenn? What happened?
I'm having these weird power issues, but I just unhooked from my battery backup, and hopefully this will.
Paulie California asked a question. He said, "Glenn, everywhere in California is now open. Come on out and have fun again."
Well, I'm not leaving my house till 2021 at the earliest.
There you go.
I think with the shape I'm in, you know, and I've been doing better. I've been walking every day or doing yoga and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm a little too high risk right now, I think, for everything that's going on. Anyhow.
So we're gonna do the Cody promo.
I like the Cody promo. I think it's good that they're going to be defending the title on TV every week. Although it was kind of weird that they had the tournament for Jungle Boy for the first challenger when Cody's essentially said he's going to have an open challenge.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What I missed?
He said tournament, but they had a battle royal to decide who's going to be Cody's first challenger.
Yeah, when Cody
basically said it's an open invitation, so in thought anybody could show up and challenge him. So that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
That was my thought. But it's cool.
Do you think he misspoke? Do you think he misspoke?
By saying open challenge? I think that here's my thing about the open challenge. I always liked when Cena would come out and do it, but I also like, you know, I think it should be, you don't want to say it's an open challenge every week. I don't know. No. I like the idea of someone coming out there and saying someone from the back come out and do this, or give it a stipulation or stakes or a way to get that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's my thought. After this, what did we have?
Havoc and Sabian versus SCU.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what'd you think of that?
It was good. I like Jimmy Havoc a little bit more now. By the way, I'm starting to like him. And I know he's doing he does a style that I'm usually not a fan of, but again, in a day and age where so many damn talents do the same crap or look similar size-wise, right? He does look different, and he's a different character. So, I don't know. I liked it.
I didn't have much engagement in this match. I was doing other things. I'll be honest. Other than Penelope Ford, who just screams star for several reasons through the eyes, I just don't care about these guys.
Come on.
Glenn, no, someone said it was frozen on the stream, so I was just taking it off and putting it back on. That's all.
Chat room, stop screwing up our podcast.
There are 849 people, Matt, who just watch wrestling, who just, in some cases, watched 4 hours of wrestling in 2 hours, and now they're tuning in live to see us talk about what they just watched. You got to respect that.
I do.
I don't love anything that much. I'll talk about it. But I don't know. I watched someone else talk about it after a while.
I did like Big Brother that much.
Really?
Well, yes.
Wow.
I used to go watch their post show coverages of it that they used to have, but not in the last like 5 years, 4 years, I would say.
I give credit to our fans who stay up and watch us on the East Coast because Matt and I know what it's like. You've been working all day, and then you're watching wrestling all night, and then it's 11 o'clock at night, and you're staying up and doing this, and you got to get up before work the next morning. I'm back at the office now. I got to get back up, my ass up, and drive an hour to the office.
Exactly. Speaking of that, what was next after that?
After that match where Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc won, we had MJF cutting that promo before the Battle Royal.
No. Fire.
Yeah.
Absolute fire. You can't critique him.
They definitely planted seeds tonight, especially with the ending with him and Wardlow and the battle royal. They're definitely planting the seeds of the Diesel the Diesel Sean turn.
And they should. I hope he can hold it a little bit longer. It's again, this really, in my opinion, is going to continue to help Wardlow. People are going to be begging to see Wardlow. They need to watch how many times they let him wrestle. I think. Do you know what I mean? Because he is so different from the rest of that roster. I know Luchasaurus is another big guy, you know, but that's really it. Do you know what I mean? Like, Wardlow is a monster. Now they got Brian Cage, yes. Wardlow's bigger, though. Like, he's taller.
He's taller than Brian, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And wrestling, by the way, for whatever reason, height translates into big. Vince once told me that.
Wardlow's definitely taller than Bryan. Bryan might be a little thicker than Wardlow. A little wider.
Well, hello, yeah.
Yeah, but.
Terrible Trey 89, Buck 99 Super Chat saying, I know this is nothing new, but MJF is money. MJF, I love the little exchange with him and Wardlow in the promo, and it was great what they did in the Battle Royal with him trying to hit Orange Cassidy and then hitting Wardlow instead. I think that was the most notable thing that happened in this before it came down to Jungle Boy and Orange Cassidy. I think it's going to be great. So Jungle Boy won. He's going to face Cody next week for the AEW TNT Championship. But I want to see Jungle Boy versus Orange Cassidy. What we saw of that tonight has me thinking that's going to be a great match in the future.
It will, because they're both very creative. They're both very energetic. When you have a lot, we have wrestlers that are at that stage in their career, but are still full of so much energy and optimism and creativity on top of it. It makes it cool for the fans, I think. And eventually, though, they got to watch it with Jungle Boy. They can't keep doing this crap with him where they bring him up to the big dance. There we go. Bring him up to the big dance and then keep swatting his hand back down. Got to be careful how many times you do that. And that's what's going to happen with him and Cody. They're going to go to a draw. They're going to do something where Cody gets him over big time, but he will not have won the match. They've got to continue to book him to win matches. I mean, I like the whatever the hell they're called, Express, the Jurassic Express.
Jurassic Express, yes.
Sans Marco stunt, of course. But I do think Jungle Boy doesn't even really need to do his shtick anymore. I'll just be honest. I think he looks great. He has a different look all to himself. He doesn't have to do the crawl around crap. It's kind of like Statlander in a way. He doesn't need to do all that anymore. I think he's gotten over enough to where that next step he's got to take has got to be as a serious contender that wins big matches. You know, could be definitely
Septum XL.
Come on, why is that your name? Just say John. John from Connecticut, $2 super chat. Jungle Boy thoughts, could be a star, has it all. Yes, I agree, John from Connecticut. He could be a star. I think he kind of sort of is there. Not a big star.
But maybe his name is Tim, and he was born in September, and he's a big guy. That's why he's got the XL. So he's Seth Tim XL. That's
obviously what that is, duh. But still, what a pain in the ass to try to sit there and read it.
IMR is letting me know. He tweeted out the picture of me with my frozen face.
A ton of people did. I just checked my Twitter. A ton of people tweeted us with your frozen face.
Yes. Yes.
Making things happen.
Those are the best.
Here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. And then we're in the main event. Well, the main event segment tonight where we had Jericho in the Inner Circle out there bringing the funny, doing the comedy, good counter programming to. Good counter programming to what was going on in NXT with the pit fight that they had going on. But there was an Inner Circle pep rally. Vicky Guerrero was out there with some pom poms and some cheerleaders introducing the Inner Circle. Mike Tyson with his posse came out. They got into it with Jericho and Tyson specifically. What'd you think of the segment, Matt, as a way to go off the air?
I didn't know he was going to be back. Did you?
No.
Well, they promoted in the show. They brought up a lower third graphic saying still to come, and they kept showing Tyson.
Well, before the show tonight, I didn't know he was going to be on tonight. You did?
Yeah, I did. I think they promoted it somewhere. I did hear it. But I don't know where, so it might be.
I don't read the mark sheet, so I have no idea.
The mark sheet.
It was like social media or something they had said. I don't know.
This was good. I mean, look, if Tyson's going to face Jericho, I'm assuming it All Out. I don't think they'd waste that at Fyter Fest.
They should not. This should not happen. I'm a Tyson fan. I mean, I used to stay up with my parents all through the 90s. We'd watch all the Tyson fights. We had the black boxes to the pay per view. Like, it was a big thing. I'm all into Tyson. Of course. All right.
Yep.
They try. Look, and it's a big deal. It's a cool thing to have Tyson. Especially it's timely because he's talking about when he's going to do some charity fights. He's going to box again. Yeah. But, like, they tried. I didn't feel it. I felt it in 1998. Tyson and Austin. Tyson and Austin. I didn't feel it tonight. Tonight felt like just a terrible manufactured, let's have him with, and I do not envy Jericho on this promo trying to get his guys to shut up and stop interrupting him because they know they're on the time cues and they got to get out. And they try to do this big schmoz, empty the locker room, empty the stands. There's a fine line to walk when you try to bring the Shoot Fighters into a pro wrestling format. Sometimes it works. So, you know, Ken Shamrock worked out for a couple years. Brock Lesnar was a pro wrestler before he was a Shoot Fighter. Other times you get the Butterbean Bart Gunn stuff where you completely bury your pro wrestlers up against Shoot Fight guys. I just don't know what to like. What do they want me to think? I don't want to see Mike Tyson in a pro wrestling match against Chris Jericho because it's going to be terrible. So I'm not sure what they're aiming for here.
So here's what they're aiming for. They're aiming for, and you got to give them credit for this because you knock them, not you, but most people knock when they want to knock AEW. They say, oh, they keep playing to the same niche audience. They keep playing to the same audience that are going to buy tickets no matter what. When are they going to try to grow their audience? Voila. This is how. You bring in a headline act, regardless where they're from. He's from a different arena. I get it. Different genre with a humongous name. His name is bigger than AEW's, by the way. Much bigger. Mike Tyson's brand is much bigger than AEW's. 1,000 times bigger. So just him being there, the thought process is it should work. It should get eyeballs on the product that normally they would not come and watch. So I get what you're saying. Once the bell rings, it's going to be shit. Who cares? There'll be an entire show that those fans that came to watch Tyson will hopefully have seen by then, and they'll be able to see the Young Bucks. They'll see Omega. They'll see all these young, exciting, super-duper athletic wrestlers and go, holy shit. When did wrestling get to like this level of athleticism? I remember back in my day when I was watching Don Morocco and all these guys with beer bellies. Look at them now. Do you know what I mean? Like, who knows what? But the bottom line is to get mainstream fans to come back and maybe just get a look at it.
Matt, the logic, I completely agree with you. And I always remind the diehard wrestling fans.
I want to give them credit for that. That's all.
Okay. I always remind the diehard wrestling fans that they're not writing to you. You're going to watch whether it sucks or is good. You are so diehard, you watch no matter what. It's getting that casual fan that can come in. So your logic is exactly right. Obviously, this would have worked better for this past weekend if they were in Vegas like they expected to be, because that's Mike Tyson in Vegas is a box office, you know, history there. Here's the problem, though. Mike Tyson was announced to be the unveiling of this title for Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
How many times did you see it? And I know you're busy, Matt, but how many times did you see it on ESPN or Fox Sports or anywhere?
Didn't cover it at all?
You didn't see it at all. And think about this. You know why? You know why you didn't see it anywhere? Fox in a billion-dollar deal with WWE. ESPN in bed with distribution for WWE. So your main sports outlets that would otherwise cover this to give this attention that you and I are talking about, they're not doing it. Tyson and Austin... Right. I'll never forget in 1998. I was 11 years old.
They're all over all the channels. They got mainstream. Yes, definitely.
I remember watching SportsCenter with my dad.
You're right. That's just one avenue. All right. But here's the main avenue, Justin. It's this. Click, 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 click. Go back, go back. I think it was Mike Tyson with a white beard. No, it wasn't. Yes, it was. Go back. Click. Holy shit. Dude, it's Mike Tyson. He's on a wrestling show. Is this WWF? No, this isn't WWF. This is something else. What is this? I'm telling you.
People don't click anymore. They hit the guide and they scroll through until they find something they read. They don't click like they used to. I don't think that's going to happen here.
So won't it say Iron Mike Tyson on AEW?
Oh, if they're going to read the description, I don't know. I have no problem with Tyson being there. And I'm fine if Tyson helps facilitate.
He's not there to have a 5-star match.
I know that.
For a brand new company that just started, that gets crapped on religiously by those that hate AEW and say, oh, they just play to the same niche fans. When are they going to grow? This is how you have to try. You've got to take your shots and try every once in a while. It's not them marking out for Mike Tyson, just giving him a free deal, free money. It's trying to use him to grow a bigger audience. You've got to give them credit for it versus mocking them for it. Because if you mock them too much for it, then they won't continue to try this with other people and other situations that could help get more mainstream attention on that product. Because I will say this, AEW does seem to look very much into what the internet says about their show and then follow suit, unfortunately. I wish they wouldn't do that as much, but they do. So I'm worried if you crap on it too much, the next, not Mike Tyson, but somebody else, they won't go and get because it got crapped on so much now.
And I don't mind them having Tyson involved. I agree to the point. I'm hoping that, and we don't know yet. All we saw was the big Donnybrook finish, and that was that. I'm hoping they don't try to go for Tyson versus Jericho. I'm hoping it's Tyson facilitating a fight with another babyface against Jericho, and then Tyson gets involved for the one spot. I hope they don't knock Jericho out. Right, because you know what Jericho was referencing for 2010. You know, that whole spot from Monday Night Raw, obviously with Name Raw. If you go and watch that clip and it's viral, unfortunately, you know Tyson can't throw a working punch. So when Tyson went to swing, he completely missed Jericho, and the camera angle that WWE took, and they never edited it out, Jericho clearly reared his head back and took the back bump. And so, like, I just think about that. Like, Tyson doesn't know how to work punch. Tyson doesn't know how to act. Tyson is so excited to be there, he's constantly smiling. And so I just hope they don't try to do a pro wrestling match, because that's going to get ugly. Let him be the manager or the enforcer to some other babyface, you know, but let him endorse some babyface. Let him get a Wardlow over. Let him get somebody that they're trying to get over at a certain time as a babyface. But I just hope they don't try to pin – I hope they don't try to do a Floyd Mayweather versus Big Show situation where they try to make an actual wrestling match out of it, because I fear that's going to be bad, really bad.
Floyd Mayweather, by the way, did a very good job with Big Show at WrestleMania. Go back and watch it.
No, I'm just saying, like, I was just referencing, like, they have had a boxer versus pro wrestler. That was fine, but I don't think that Tyson versus pro wrestler would turn out as well. I just don't think it's not.
So let's get to some super chats here before we move on to NXT. William Snipes, $1.99. Matt, any tips for my graduation speech tomorrow?
William, do not pay to make I want to ask him, is he talking high school?
I'm looking at his avatar pic. That looks high school. I'd say high school.
First and foremost, Billy Snipes, as I just deemed you.
Better name. Much better name.
Congratulations. What a huge deal. You are part of a history-making senior class. Like, brother, your kids, your grandkids, they're going to read about this in their history books, this COVID-19 business. And they're going to ask you, where were you? And you're going to be able to sit there and say, I told that bleep to hold my beer and graduated high school. While not P.S., they took us out of high school, and where we had to do it all online, and this world was upside down at that time. And you're the first graduating class from it. You know, you should be super proud of yourself. Super proud of yourself. We're proud of you. We've never even met you, and we're proud of you, because that's a very big deal. That's a huge deal. Any senior that graduates in this class, I'm so damn proud of, because I could never have done this. There's no way, no way, with my learning disability, I would have been able to do this and prevail. There's just not. So good on you. And my advice to your speech, first of all, that means you must have done very well in your class, I'm guessing, to have a speech. So congrats on that too. And just talk about what you think everybody's been talking about. Talk about what this virus has done, mm-hmm. but talk about the positive part of it. What has it done for you, Billy or William? What has it done? Where do you think has it improved something in your life? Has it improved on how much you pay attention? Your goals, is it had any effect on that at all, or is it just lit the fire bigger on what your goals are, one that you want to go out and accomplish, because you were able to accomplish this next to impossible goal? Because I assure you, if I told you guys and everyone watching this show right now, 5 months ago, they're going to shut down the entire country, the whole economy, everything, and we're going to pull all of our kids out of school, all right, and we're going to tell them, P.S., you still got to go graduate, but you can't come to school, can't talk to your teachers. Those of you like Matt Morgan that need extra help after school, one-on-one with your teachers and your tutors, can't have it no more. You got to do it all online. You'd be like, yeah, right, that's impossible. You know what I mean? So congratulations, William Snipes. We're super proud of you. And your speech, just don't over-rehearse it. Just try to be as natural as you can and try to have a conversation while you're up there. Definitely tell a joke to make everybody laugh. Start off with a joke.
And William, take your time, because you're gonna get, if you get nervous and start to move too fast, take your time, soak it in.
You know, it's funny, people talk about kids all the time, and you know, these millennials and Xennials and you know, whatever beyond the Generation Z. But if you think about the kids that are graduating high school this year, these were children born in the uncertainty post 9/11.
Yeah.
They've been through two economic collapses in their lifetime thus far. This is probably going to be the toughest generation in 100 years.
Glenn, to that point, I'll say this. So for those who don't know, and I'm not doing this stuff with pro wrestling, I run a high school sports network. Well, obviously there's no high school sports, so we have no high school sports to stream. here in Western PA. So so what we're doing right now to help keep busy and help service the community is we're offering to either edit together a virtual graduation ceremony or nice. Because of, or some schools, if they have a smaller senior class, have been able to bring the seniors in one by one, let film them crossing the stage, give them diplomas, and then we're editing stuff together.
Yeah.
My point that I'm getting to, I have gotten to watch a lot of pre-recorded speeches from these, you know, 18-year-old students who are tasked with, you know, addressing their peers in this unusual situation. And it has been some of the most well-spoken and eloquent speeches from 18-year-olds, like really thinking about just the time of reflection of having these last 2 months stolen from them, not being able to do prom, not being able to like get dressed up. And like, you always talk about like, oh, we're doomed for the future, the kids behind us, the generation next, you know. I'll tell you what, for just the small sample size I've gotten here in the Pittsburgh area of getting to see some of these pre-recorded speeches, I am super impressed with those graduating this year in the high schools.
No, absolutely.
It's crazy, especially you get them something to sink their teeth into that they're passionate about. Holy mackerel. I get motivational. I go in to talk to them all the time, all over the various schools. And every time I leave, I'm always a little flabbergasted during the Q&A and the questions they ask. Mm-hmm. Like, they ask me questions about government that I'm in my head going, I'm kind of here as former WWE superstar Matt Morgan to talk to you guys about following your dreams. And, like, you guys are asking me about, like, mayoral-type questions, like, legitimate political questions. And I'm sitting there like, wow, at your age, I would not have been asking that. You know, I would have been like, so what's John Cena like? You know?
And they're like, with inflating pension costs and retirements due for an entire generation soon, how does the city balance that budget and take care of its unfunded liabilities?
Well, it's so funny. Yeah, the other day I was like, so Matt, is it true that you're the first mayor in Longwood since 2014 to balance your general fund in the black?
Yeah.
Yes, it was. Yes, it is true.
Commendable. Jonathan,
nobody asked me that. I just wanted to throw that in there. Go ahead.
Cheap pop.
Jonathan, yes. Alcantara, Buck99 saying, I think Darby possibly interferes in Cage versus Mox.
Why?
I don't know. That's random. Don't know. Terrible Trey, 89/499 super chat. How high do you think Sammy G's ceiling is? I think he's a stud. The sky's the limit for him.
Abso-friggin-lutely. Like I love him so much. I watch his, like I told you, his YouTube show. I geek out over it. I think he's hilarious. He's a star. And he, what's great about him, he makes other people. He's still let me be clear. He's still not figured out who he is just yet. This guy was wearing a panda head just 6 months ago, 7 months ago. He still doesn't know who he is quite yet. He's a straight off athleticism and arrogance and whatnot. He's got that down. That's what's scary about his ceiling. He is a bona fide future main eventer, no question.
So let's talk about NXT tonight. We opened with the triple threat match, Drake Maverick versus Kushida versus Jake Atlas. Winner's going to go on to face El Hijo del Fantasma in the finals of the Cruiserweight title championship tournament. And as I think everyone predicted, Drake Maverick won this match. It was a fantastic match.
So what does that mean?
Drake goes to the finals. And if he wins, I'm assuming the storyline is he gets his job back.
So has everybody, like, calmed down about getting mad at WWE for turning into their story yet or no?
I mean, no, it's still messed up. I was thinking about this tonight. Like, if he wins, am I happy that he got his job back or, like, pissed off that WWE and NXT used the situation to create a storyline?
I think we should – this is where I worry – not worry, but, like, I do – don't want to give an honest opinion because I don't want them to take this away from him because he needs this
absolutely
job. So like I don't want to crap on them for doing what I think they're doing, you know what I mean? Because here, then they're like, well look, we're gonna get heat no matter what, so let's just stick with what we said we were gonna do and release them.
But here, Matt, I'll give you the protected answer. On paper, when you say it, oh yeah, they happened to lump him in with a bunch of releases due to a pandemic and they turned it into a storyline. On paper, yeah, it sounds crappy, but I don't think any of the other talents who are also released will
are going to have a problem.
Have a problem with it because sure. they know that this guy deserves to be there. So,
I mean, they're not cruel. They're not going to have him come out for the finals, pee his pants in the ring. William Regal comes out and goes, "I'm sorry, like match can't go on. You lose by default. You're fired."
why are you putting that out there? It's, oh my god,
that's not going to happen, Matt. That's not going to happen. They're not like they're cynical bad people, but they're not going to be cruel in that regard. And that's kind of the thing. You can't do this story.
Interesting like thought, Glenn. Drake, come in here. Looking tall, pal. Looking tall. Let me ask you. Can you pee on command? He's gonna. You want some coffee? Want some more? He's gonna. He's gonna. He's gonna. He's gonna. He's gonna. He's gonna pee.
He did before that spot with Cesaro.
Yes.
On the side of the ring. No, look. I want all the best for Drake. I mean, yeah. I mean, whatever. Like WWE gets a pass, but they're. I mean, yeah, they're not. You don't come this far and then have him lose and be like, oh, and you're like legit fired. Like,
because like, where's the heat in that? The heat in that is not the person that beats him. The heat in that's with the company. So like, the company is not wrestling on a card anytime soon on a pay per view. You know what I mean? There's no money in that for them to have heat for that.
Yeah.
So they've got to go all the way.
And if that wasn't the case that he's going to keep his job, this spot could have better served a talent that wasn't being released. So I don't know. I mean, this was a great match, though. Let's talk about the match.
And a great finish for a match. Creative finish for a three-way.
Yeah. So was it like a double pin?
So yeah. So there was an arm. There was like an arm bar going on. So you have and I forget who was in who, but you have guy who's receiving the arm bar. He's on his back, like trying not to tap out. You have person giving the arm bar. He rears back, but pins his own shoulders to the mat. And then Drake slowly army crawls and just, you know, barely gets the arm draped over one of them. And the ref counts and the ref says, well, Drake has his arm across. Both these guys have their shoulders down. Drake gets the win. So it's like, it's such an F finish, but it gets Drake the win, but it protects the other two guys clearly.
Yeah. This was really good. Looking forward to the finals and TakeOver. So let's talk about Johnny Gargano squashed Adrian Alanis, in a pretty easy squash. But let's talk about this promo with Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae, and then the video package with Keith Lee and Mia Yim firing back. Matt, I know you're a fan of both these talents, but this was kind of different tonight, seeing them in this situation and doing this style of promo.
It was. I thought it was good, though. You know what I mean? The difference was actually, I thought, a strength tonight. I thought it was cool seeing them in this element.
Yeah, and this was the chat room can correct me, but to my memory, this is the first time that WWE has officially acknowledged that Mia Yim and Keith Lee are a couple.
Yeah, I didn't know that before.
I thought they did last week when she came into the ring, or when there was the in ring segment with them.
Okay, well, there you go. Glad you correct me.
I thought so, but maybe they didn't. I think that's when I found out. Anyhow, Tegan Nox made a cameo delivering a pizza in that promo. Kushida congratulated Drake Maverick backstage. And, Shotzi Blackheart versus Raquel Gonzalez tonight, with Raquel picking up a victory after a pretty good match.
Yeah, this is a solid match. This is good.
I like Raquel.
It was good.
I like Raquel the more I see her. And then that bump, Glenn, help me out. Chick in the tank, and then not Shotzi. It was the other one was in the tank, and then Shotzi pushes her out of her tank. And girl took a crazy back bump out of the tank onto the floor. It looked brutal. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm Raquel's growing on me every time I see her.
Yeah, this was absolutely solid. We had promo hyping Finn Balor versus Damian Priest for TakeOver. And then Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai versus Charlotte Flair and a mystery tag partner who turned out to be Chelsea Green. So the Robert Stone brand getting some of that Charlotte Flair rub tonight.
Good. This was good.
Yeah, what'd you think of the match?
Awesome. Awesome. There's yet to be I have not seen a shitty Charlotte match to date.
I just, and maybe I'm wrong on this. Doesn't it feel like Rhea's just kind of like three steps back? She's not even at the level that she was at the end of last year.
No question, but I've already subscribed to the theory that we've lost her. I hate saying that, but I feel they've screwed it. The minute, the way they had her sell her knee,
yeah,
even the way they had her selling it during Mania versus Charlotte, with how she was like overly screaming and whatnot, I was like, why are they making her do this? Like, it's 2 weeks. Somebody needs to. The referee is being talked to the entire match by backstage. Why is nobody buzzing him to tell her to either turn her volume down? Do you know what I mean? Or what? Because she's going to lose the match on top of it. Let's let her look a little bit stronger than this. But again, it goes back to she should not have lost that match to begin with.
I mean,
and then they kind of screwed her up going into that match, if I'm being honest. Like, she was fine, I would say, right going into the minute they said that she started chasing Charlotte to make Charlotte, like, challenge her for the title. Remember? There's that moment, I feel, we started to see the decrescendo of her, not by her own mistakes, by their mistakes, by having her, like, force this crap on Charlotte, that you have to face me, pick me. You know what I mean? It's like, no, this is your badass.
Yeah.
People want to take a shot at her from the quote-unquote main roster, sorry, Justin, because she is such a badass. She is the best women's division wrestler at the moment, you know?
Yeah. Now, I mean, you guys, I think we've said this before, Matt. I think you said this. I mean, if she wins the title back, they did this all to test her in some weird way, or this was like, we can't have a performer be bigger than the company or the division. I mean, I don't know. It just feels like they knocked her back down. Even if she gets the title back, I think they still need to rebuild her to get her at the level that she was at. If she can even get back there.
Yes. To show you how long and annoying, how annoyingly long this show is, I started this show off at 86% battery. And I'm down to 1%.
What?
To plug in?
That out. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, the professor saying Damian Priest was on the Pat McAfee show on YouTube. Awesome interview. Great build for the In Your House event. I mean, that's good. Damian Priest, I think Finn Balor just overshadows him, but maybe this will be more of a launch for Damian if he gets the win at TakeOver.
What does hashtag for the brand mean?
For the brand, doing it for the brand, for NXT. I don't know. I think the kids and their hashtags.
I think Pat uses that. Pat's a Pittsburgh guy. He played in the NFL and he's done some work with WWE, but he has a talk show every day. I think he uses that. The for the brand. He has like Pat has like a Howard Stern kind of like entourage on his show. I think he uses that here.
There you go. So, Charlotte Flair and Chelsea Green won that match. It's going to be Shirai versus Ripley versus Flair for the NXT Women's Title TakeOver. Adam Cole talking to William Regal. This was interesting. This set up the match for TakeOver that's going to be Dream versus Cole for the NXT Championship.
It's going to be an off. It'll be like a pre-taped cinematic match. It's not going to be a traditional in the ring. It's going to be like Regal's going to find a suitable location. So it's going to be like Gargano Ciampa was. It's going to be something of where they pre-tape and produce it.
Yep. Tommaso Ciampa squashed Leon Ruff. Afterwards, Cross came out and this was setting up their match. They're going to have a TakeOver on June 7th.
Which is going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And I like the touch here. Scarlett's there staring, Ciampa down, Cross on the video wall. This was a good. I like not seeing him in person. I like just seeing her again, just like the entrance. It makes her seem more than just the eye candy. She's a valuable component to this here.
Yes.
And then the main event, Timothy Thatcher versus Matt Riddle in a cage, in a pit. Loved that setup. I guess they couldn't do this with an audience, but I loved how they had the walkway on top. Loved how this was shot. This was the best looking cage match I think WWE has ever done.
I agree with that. This was shot very well. I noticed the same thing. To be fair to the chat room, we were talking about this before the show went on the air.
Oh, yeah.
Because we felt so strongly about it. I just thought that this should have been saved for, we all thought this should have maybe been saved for a different talent. If you're going to, you know, do this with Matt Riddle, like, is Thatcher your next guy? Is he really your next guy? No. No.
I think they were, but I think if you look at the timeline, I think they just kind of got forced into it. Look, you know, obviously Thatcher became a plug-in when Pete Dunne can't travel.
Yes, right. Okay. Listen, there's a way, always a way around that. It's somebody debuting.
Right. But so Thatcher's the plug-in. And then, Matt, you know better than all of us how fast things can move in WWE. Yeah. They may not know when they plug. They might have, Triple H might have thought, I'm plugging Thatcher in and I'm going to get 6 months out of this. But then they get 3 weeks in and Vince goes, I'm ready for Matt Riddle to go to SmackDown. So now you have to just finish what you've, an accident started.
Simple. Thatcher gets hurt. And you don't advertise a match versus Thatcher at all. You simply, the upcoming week, you make an impromptu match with Riddle versus whoever's sitting on the sidelines right now who WWE has on NXT who's not debuted yet. And that's their debut match. A win versus Matt Riddle would shoot them through the ceiling.
It would, but you know, even though none of us are like high on Thatcher, Thatcher was in the headlines with Cross. Those two signed at the same time. So if WWE has, if NXT at least has a hope to invest into Thatcher, to them, this is a golden moment. We can get Thatcher to beat the MMA performer inside of a cage situation. That's what they're trying to go for here.
He is not he's not their main dude. He's nowhere near their main guy.
I don't think so either. But again, he's somebody they're going to try to invest in. So this is their thought of, okay, we can get some stock built on him by him beating Matt Riddle in a cage match.
I just think that's a waste.
Yeah,
a waste of a Riddle loss.
And Riddle is one of the more unique and charismatic performers that NXT has ever had. Timothy Thatcher, I know he has fans out there. When they said tonight, from Sacramento, California, again, I thought he was British.
Me too.
I have no clue. Like, to me, the guy just has a generic look. I think he's very capable in the ring, and I get that, but there's nothing about him. The reason why he was good with Matt Riddle is because Matt Riddle is so charismatic. He was just a blank slate straight man.
Matt Riddle was the sizzle.
Yeah.
I won't argue. He looks generic as all hell. Yes.
Love to be proven wrong.
He reminds me of what's his name? Yorkin, what's his name?
Oney Yorkin.
What?
Oney Yorkin, who I thought was Loney Yorkin. Oney Yorkin. Can't even get his name right.
He's generic like him to me. I know he doesn't look like him, but like that's what he gives me as far as, I don't know, when I watch him, the energy, everything, just everything. I get nothing from him.
That's how I feel about Sami Zayn.
What?
Here's the guy that when wrestled with a mask on was called El Generico.
But that's him. I mean, he made that his gimmick. I thought
Sami as a heel was obnoxious and fun. Sammy is a babyface.
He had more personality than Thatcher has.
Yes. He did. Come on.
100 times more. You might not think that that's what you look for in a babyface, but I'm telling you, Sami Zayn is a babyface connected with a lot of people.
Yes. And he sold his ass off. And I'm sorry, Thatcher has the charisma of a glass of milk.
Right? I think that might actually like non-fat milk. Not even full fat.
What about soy?
Soy's tastier.
You would? Oh my god! I was just gonna say, Justin, you would say that. Then Glenn just upped the ante.
Yes.
Right on cue.
Like oat milk, maybe. Now oat milk even is better.
Soy boy, right now, chat. I'm hitting.
I'm not a big milk guy. I don't. My parents tried to get me to drink milk when I was a kid because Cal Ripken was on the thing, and I was a big Cal Ripken fan. I just
really
can't.
Still talking about this.
Yes.
No, Matt Morgan, here's the deal. We're more interested in discussing the attributes of milk than we are Timothy Thatcher. I could do 20 minutes on milk. Timothy Thatcher, I got maybe 30 seconds.
Well, listen, Sports Illustrated doesn't like when you guys go off track, so...
Dan, have we Raj said that on the air. We're not, this isn't behind the scenes.
No.
But Raj has reiterated multiple times to us now, the fine people at Sports Illustrated are fans of this podcast, but they don't like when we go off topic.
No. Tough.
Michael Sachs Jr., $2 super chat, said he forgot about the Jake Hager poem tonight during the Inner Circle segment. Thought that was funny yeah. stuff.
That was. That was funny.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know. Tonight was good, though. Both shows were good. I think TakeOver in Your House. Right. Oh, and Kurt Angle was there, which I don't think they used Kurt enough in this tonight. Like, I don't think he added a lot being the special guest referee, but it was nice to see Kurt back on TV.
Say that one more time. I apologize.
So it was good to see Kurt Angle back on TV. I don't think they used him to the full. I don't think they got their value out of Kurt tonight, who's not under contract anymore. So they were paying him tonight for his refereeing in that main event match.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
So let's see what else we got here. Oh, I thought this, Araceli Bernardo, Araceli, $5. Do you feel they push Leon Ruff suddenly spite Leo Rush? I did think that was a little weird to have two guys with such similar names.
I did too. I thought the same exact thing, actually.
That's not a coincidence in the WWE world.
No.
But who's Leon Ruff? They just like give him that name?
He's been a jobber who's been on every one of their shows since December. He's appeared on Raw, NXT, SmackDown, Main Event, 205 Live. He's been like a regular, like Barry Horowitz.
There you go. Leon's dunking $5. Some accused Charlotte of burying NXT when two women lost a total of two matches in 3 years. Matt, wrong. LA team, Clippers, Nation, Kawhi, Rio, King of LA.
Oh, he's mocking my LeBron fandom, I think. Yeah, dude, the Claw is pretty good. He is, but not better than LeBron, dude. You're out of your mind.
Are the Clippers good now? Did that change?
Yes, because they did what the Lakers did. They went out and got a bunch of really good talent. They pulled George, Kawhi Leonard. Very good team. He's correct. They are. But anyways, Charlotte does not bury the women. What are you guys talking about? You guys act like Charlotte Flair. They're all in here saying how she buries the women and whatnot. You guys do understand Charlotte doesn't go into the booking room, take her pen, and say, well, you had her beating me. F that. I'm winning. And while we're at it, I'm going to win the title at WrestleMania. Oh, wait. And while we're at it, I'm going to go down to NXT instead of being on Raw or SmackDown. And I'm just going to beat everybody there, too, because that's how it works. You guys really got to understand how this works. I hope you do. I think you do. I pray you do.
I don't think anyone that faults this thinks it's Charlotte's fault, but I would say it does seem like the creative goes in hot and cold streaks. When they're into her, they really decide that they're going to push her and have her look dominant. And they've backed off a couple times.
Really quick, we keep getting asked this. Oh, it's Keith Hildebrand. Keith Hillebrand's on here. Really quick, Keith Hillebrand is the pyro man from WCW.
Oh, that's right.
WCW fame, Nitro fame with Goldberg's entrance. He used to do his entrance, and then TNA's. Really quick, he's asking, though, really quick, what's our Mount Rushmore of wrestling? You know, your top four. You guys go first.
Well, for me, I mean, it's Tough Enough Matt Morgan, Team Lesnar Matt Morgan, Stuttering Matt Morgan, and Blueprint Matt Morgan. So, I mean...
Come on, be serious.
No, I don't know. I think Piper.
Want me to go?
Yeah, you go first.
Hogan, Flair. Oh, Rock and Austin.
Okay. Justin?
Hogan, Austin, Flair, Undertaker.
I'm going to say.
You didn't put Rock in there?
Only because of the lack of years there that he was the full-time guy.
No, I'm just making sure I didn't miss it. That's all. Okay, I was wondering who Undertaker replaced. Okay, sure. No. Sorry.
I'm going to say Piper, Brett.
Ooh. Oh, you're a worker guy.
Oh.
I'll say Rock and Foley.
Wow.
Probably my four favorites of all time.
Wow. There you go. Well, there you go, and there you are, folks.
Yes, Leonza Duncan says, I agree with you, Matt. Charlotte is the best. So we've got one piece of news.
Justin. Yeah, yeah. So the Raw viewership, it was a little bit on delay coming out because of the holiday. So, of course, we always preface, like, you know, we always preface, like, okay, this is the worst non-holiday. Of course, this past Monday was a holiday. This past Monday's Raw, on Memorial Day, the show drew an average of 1.73 million viewers. This is down from the week prior's 1.75. Now, if you're curious, okay, it's Memorial Day. People might want to get outside, barbecue, whatever the case may be. Well, compared to Memorial Days, this one was in the crapper. So this year in 2020, it did, again, 1.73. And 2019's Memorial Day, 2.19. 2018, 2.49 million viewers. 2017, 2.61. 2016, 3.22. So even if you want to try to use the, oh, it was Memorial Day, this clearly the worst in recent history of Memorial Day viewership by viewers. Not rating, but by viewers. So there you go.
There you go. Well, I think that covers it for tonight. Anything else?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay, cool, guys. We're back here Friday night to talk about SmackDown. Thanks for tuning in. He's at BP Matt Morgan. He's at Justin Labar, Matt Glenn Rubenstein. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, stay sane, and we'll catch you back here Friday night on the Wrestling Inc. podcast.
Take care. Congrats, William Snipes.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today, we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.